Thank you to Lydia and the band for leading us this evening, and happy birthday to Lydia. Happy birthday today. Yay. Thank you. And happy birthday to Chris tonight. Yay. And happy birthday to Corinne tonight. And to me. Hooray. Well, who would have believed it? It's like a bus, isn't it? You wait for ages and then four all come at the same time. Who would have thought that? Four people all having a birthday on the same day. Is there anybody else who's got a birthday today? Okay, so you're not in the in crowd in that sense. But we are all connected. You know, we're not all from the same family, obviously. And I'm sure you can try and work out, perhaps during the service, you get bored of the sermon, you can work out which one you think's the oldest. You can do that if you want to. But we are connected, kind of the idea that we're all on the same day, something significant happened. And I want to build on that kind of idea this evening. We are thinking about the subject of who do you think you are? Many of you will know that last October, my first grandchild, Noah, was born. And that marked a very pivotal moment in my life, not only for the joy of seeing this cheeky chappy come into the world, but also because it meant there was a new generational line in my family tree. For 30 years, I had been referred to as Dad, and now I'd kind of gone one step higher in my ladder of my family tree. I'm now officially Granddad. And it's possible you may have watched at some point in your life the series Who Do You Think They Are, or You Are, with celebrities who are encouraged and invited to choose somebody from their family tree and find out a little bit about them and hopefully make an entertaining show about their life. And perhaps the funniest one, if you ever watched these, was Danny Dyer from EastEnders, who it was worked out is actually related not only to Thomas Cromwell, but also to King Edward III, which was just outrageous as the cheeky Cockney chappy that he is, that actually is from a royal bloodline, which was quite funny. I don't know if researching your family tree is something that you've ever done. It may be an older person's thing, and now I've reached that older person's level, I've found an interest. But actually, I think for me, it goes right back to my school days. We used to do this in school. We were asked to compose a family tree. When I trained as a school teacher, we were told not to do that with children, because a lot of children don't necessarily know who their fathers were, or the family group might come from a number of different fathers, and it's too confusing for children. So I understood that, but I thought we lost out on a little bit there, because I remember as a kid quite like asking my mum to try and draw a nice chart on who's related to who. And my mum helped me to complete it, and particularly on her side was very interesting, because she indicated that it's just possible, because her maiden name was Kidd, that we might be related to the 17th century notorious pirate, Captain Kidd. And that was something which I quite liked as a child. You know, it's kind of, you felt, you know, quite important talking to fellow peers. I might have pirate blood. You know, that kind of sort of is a good topic of conversation. I don't know if you think there's much similarity there. There's a picture of him with a beard. That might look a little bit more like me, perhaps. What do you think? Well, maybe that might help a little bit more. But as a youngster, that idea that maybe I've got pirate blood was something I was interested in. And I think the whole idea of family trees is something that God is interested in, because if you read the Bible, you will find lots of them. At least 25 lists of people, descendants. All of these people, these are usually kind of lists that we skip. If we're reading through the Bible, we don't read these because they're just lists of names. But every single person on this list was a real person like you and me. In God's wisdom, he has sought to make sure that their names are recorded. And of course, in the Jewish faith, ancestry is very important. And if you can trace back your ancestry to certain things, you know that you are part of the covenant promises and maybe in line for inheritance, very important. And then quite often, scattered through the scriptures, you'll find that people are described as being the father of, or the son of, or the daughter of, or the mother of, when they're being described. Even God refers to Jesus as his son, and Jesus refers to God as his father. We call ourselves brothers and sisters in Christ with God our Father. The whole thing has kind of got family tree written all through it. And whilst I've done a little bit of research over the years, it wasn't until last year that I decided I think I'm going to be a little bit more ambitious. And I thought I would treat myself for my birthday this time last year to a year's subscription to an online genealogy program. And I did ask Elaine's permission first, because they're not particularly that cheap. And so I signed up for two. And findmypastandmyheritage.com. And they helped me to discover various bits of information. Because once you type into these websites, some details, if you've ever used them, you start typing a little bit about the family tree that you do know. Before you know it, suddenly it links with loads and loads of different forms. So you'll have marriage records, birth records, death records, or censuses from 18... Is it censi? What's a plural census? Censuses? From 1851 right up to 1911, and there's also a 1939 register that was taken just before the Second World War, probably, because they knew entering into war that a lot of people may die, so they did this special survey in 39. And these are all online. And the census documents help you to find out where people lived, what their jobs were, their exact birth dates, and also, on the census in particular, all the other people that are living in the house at the same time, and you'll discover members of your family perhaps you didn't know, and then you add them to your tree, and et cetera, et cetera. And in addition to all of that, because this is all electronic, everybody else who's signed into this is connected to you as well. So as soon as you type in all these details, as soon as a name of somebody in your family tree matches somebody else's family tree, because they've got a similar name, you will suddenly get a ping, 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 you found a match, 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 and you get these kind of messages coming through saying to you, we found a match, you know, are you related to this person, is this the same person? And that's kind of exciting, if you're a lonely person, you don't get many emails or texts, it's quite good, because in the middle of doing something, ping, oh, you've got a match, smart match, and you scroll down to find out, have you found another member of your family, perhaps on the other side of the world. And it helps you to just get an idea of the bigger picture. It's not just about you in your little world, but actually you're connected and can be connected all around the world. And thanks to using these particular sites, I now have found 1,499 members of my family. Lots of these people are scattered all around the world, including Australia, where a lot of my mum's family were. And I've been able to track down my dad's family tree way back to 1695, nine generations, and that was particularly something I wanted to do because my dad died in 1998, and I've never been able to talk to him about family line from his side. My mum's still alive, and she's still got a lot of her faculties about her, and she's able to still recall a lot of stuff. But I wanted to track some of my dad's line. And one thing I wanted to find is he did tell me at one stage that he was related to Selwyn Hughes from Every Day with Jesus. He wrote, and so I wonder if I can find out how he's connected. He's there somewhere, my dad said, so how will I find it? So I typed in his name, didn't kind of make the link until I bought his autobiography. And in the autobiography, in the first few pages, it lists some names of his mum and his dad and the family. And because of that, I was able to, as soon as I typed those in, bing, it connected it all up to my great-grandfather and the link through there. So he was a second cousin, I think, once removed. And interestingly, in reading his book, I discovered that actually my dad is in his book. See, when you start trawling through things, you find things. Page 14, it says this, "Grandmother would light the oil lamp that was suspended over the large kitchen table, and whilst the adults would gather round it, one of my favourite cousins and I would huddle under it to play with our toy cars and listen to the fascinating conversation." And apparently that favourite cousin was my dad. I just found that quite nice to just discover that as part of my journey. I didn't know until I'd started that journey. There was one other thing that I really wanted to find, this is more lighthearted, was as a kid I used to often say, I think I'm genetically American. And I think it was because I loved films, and films were all made in America at the time, and so I wanted to have a link with America. The problem was my mum was born in London, and my dad was born in the Welsh Valleys. And so as far as I could see, I could not see how could I be genetically American. But I would keep saying it, you know, whether it's a confession of faith or what, I don't know, but I used to keep saying it, so I thought, I wonder. Now I'm connected to, is it possible that I am genetically American? And it turns out that sort of I am, believe it or not. It actually found me. I didn't find it. It found me. I got an email came through telling me that between 1849 and 1856, a number of my relatives left South Wales, in Vochry, Merthyr, and went to America as pioneers because they were members of the Mormon Church. Wasn't quite what I expected, but apparently that's how I'm related to 12 different ones. Apparently about third cousins five times removed, something like that, related through my great-grandfather who married a woman whose relatives were connected and all that kind of thing. So in a sense, though it wasn't quite what I expected, there it was. I am kind of genetically linked to America. But there, the idea that family trees might be something that's of no interest to you whatsoever, or maybe you are someone who has started doing your own research, or maybe the whole idea of thinking back a little bit is a really negative idea. Because for some people, it's a very positive thing. For others, they might look back and say, actually, my upbringing was horrendous, and I really don't unearth any of that. Or maybe I know that part of my history was really bad, and the last thing I want to do is to try and go back and unearth some of that. And it may be that we've encountered rejection, abuse, and as a result, the whole idea of going backwards and reflecting on the past is a very negative thing. And if you can identify with that, then first of all, I would encourage you to make sure you talk that out with someone who's trained to be able to help you to process that, to find healing. And secondly, is to seek encouragement from the Lord, who says in his word that no matter how we start, no matter how difficult our beginning is, God can still give us a positive present and a very exciting future. A bad start does not necessarily mean we can't have a wonderful future. For example, think of Joseph. He had a bad start. His brothers rejected him, put him in a pit, left him for dead, and then sold him into slavery. That's a very bad start. But then later on, he was able to say, but God actually used that, and he meant for good, and he ended up being a blessing to his family and the whole of the nation. If you read Judges chapter 11, there's a guy called Jephthah who started off very badly. He was rejected by his family. They threw him out because his mother, he wasn't quite of the family line, his mother had been a prostitute. They didn't want him, threw him out. And yet, as the story goes on, they later came and urged him to come back and fight for them, and he became one of the judges for 6 years over the whole of Israel. David started badly. Do you remember when Samuel comes to anoint the future king, and he goes through the whole family line that have been lined up, and then he says, he goes through them all, and none of them he can find is the one that God was telling him to anoint. And he says, have you not got any other children? He said, oh yeah, David's out in the field. Dad didn't even think to bring him in, left him out in the field. What kind of dad's that? Just left out. You look after sheep, son, while we deal with proper business. But God saw the heart of David, and as soon as he came in, God said, that's the one. That's the one, rejected. And even his employer, Saul, ended up throwing a spear at him, trying to kill him. Not a good start to your life. And yet, he ended up being anointed as king and called a man after God's own heart. How we start does not necessarily have to determine how we continue and how we end. Families can be a blessing or a curse, but our Heavenly Father, whose love is never-ending, says, put your trust in me, and despite how you've started, you can have a wonderful present experience and hope for the future. Sometimes researching your family tree can be a means of bringing healing and restoration. About 3 years ago, I worked in an organization that worked with the isolated elderly. And there was a lady there called Jean who asked if we would research her family tree for her. Now, she had had a very bad start. She had started to be grown up in the family, and when they discovered she had learning difficulties, parents decided they can't cope with that, and they put her in for adoption, where she was abused throughout her childhood. So it's a terrible story. And as she got older, she became part and linked with our group, and she asked if we would try and find some of her family to see if they're still around. Because even though she had kind of memories of a bad life at the beginning, she still wanted to connect with the family that she had been disconnected with for ages. And so the chair of trustees, we've got all the information, chair of trustees got in contact with a friend who had ancestry, and together with that and the GPO, they managed to track down two sisters that were still alive. And on two occasions, they met together with this lady, Jean, before she passed away a year or so ago. And it was just a lovely thing to be part of. And this verse came to my mind in Psalm 68:6. God sets the lonely in families. And Jean was isolated and lonely, and we had the privilege of the process of connecting her back up with the family and bringing healing between them after so many years. And maybe that's something that you need to do with a family member. Maybe there's an issue that's been going on for a long time, or maybe it's something that's actually quite recent, something that's caused a rift. we're only here on this earth once. So why would we want to waste precious time in regard to relationships by falling out with each other and never getting it sorted? And then perhaps if that person passes on, we say, if only I'd done this first. It doesn't help them. It doesn't help us. And I suggest it works against the teaching of Jesus, who said this in Mark 11:25, when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. We want God to forgive our sins. Well, Jesus says, will you forgive the sins of those who sinned against you? And even make sure in the Lord's Prayer that we pray that. We're not meant to hold things against other people. And of course, some of those things are very difficult, if there's been abuse and all the rest of it. But God wants to make sure our hearts are right. Even if we can't reconcile, we need to reconcile with God, because bitterness and ill feeling towards others can hinder our relationship with God. And where we can put things right, even if it's just in a decision to forgive from a distance, that's a good first step to be able to making sure that it's dealt with. So for me, over the last 12 months, my journey into family history I found quite interesting as I dipped in and out of it during the year. And now I'm at that awful position. Do I subscribe for another 12 months and to keep it going, or do I let it go? The problem is, I still don't know if I'm related to Captain Kidd. You see, and look, this news thing came out in 2015. It said, pirate Captain Kidd's treasure found in Madagascar. Now, how interesting is that? Well, only for those of us who might be related to him, of course. Buried treasure. Now, I appreciate the fact that if Captain Kidd, if that is his treasure, the chances are that he got this treasure illegally. Now, I get that, because he's a pirate. He was a good man, apparently, to start off with, but then he became a pirate. So I appreciate that. But there is a scripture. I have a scripture. Look, it says this. Proverbs 13:22 in the Amplified Version. The wealth of the sinner finds its way eventually into the hands of the righteous for whom it was laid up. Look, it's in the scriptures. Okay, so if Captain Kidd is the sinner, I, because of Christ, am righteous, not in my own, but because of the righteousness of Christ, and this has been laid up for me. So therefore, this bullion, this treasure, could be mine, if only I need to claim it. But I've got to, first of all, make that connection in order to claim my gold. And I might contribute something towards Frimley Baptist Church. I might not still be here at Frimley Baptist. Yes, of course I would. I will stay on. Of course I will. But there we are. So, of course, that's rather lighthearted. But it does point me to something that's more serious and more wonderful. Today in the church calendar is Ascension Sunday. On Thursday, 40 days after Jesus rose from the dead, he then rose into the air. Called Ascension, he had opened the scriptures for 40 days. He had appeared to prove that he had risen from the dead for 40 days. And he had talked to the disciples, commissioned them to go out into all the world. And then in Luke 24:50, it says this. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stay continually at the temple praising God. Jesus had died, risen again, now ascended to take his rightful place at the right hand of the Father. And those who are connected to Jesus, because they've asked Jesus to forgive them of their sin, are on the receiving end of an inheritance that is far better than any pirate gold. The Bible gives the family tree of Jesus in two places, Matthew's Gospel and Luke's Gospel. And whilst probably none of us are genetically connected to that family tree, when you ask the Lord Jesus into your life, you become adopted into his family. How great is that? Adopted into his family. Romans 8:15 says this, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Co-heirs with Christ. I wonder what that really means. Does that mean that all that belongs to Jesus belongs to us? If that's the case, how fantastic is that? That's far better than what's at the bottom of the sea just off the coast of Madagascar. And it's available to all of us, not just me, who might be connected to pirates. It's available to all of us because we're connected to the King of Kings if we've asked Jesus into our life. Just one other story. My son, Luke, who was the father of Noah, recently went into my study in my house and he spotted a Bible that was on my shelf. And I think it's because he's big and fat, he decided to have a little look at it. And inside is a little inscription that says it was given to my dad by his dad. And Luke said to me, he said, "Can I have this when you die?" And I try not to take offense with the idea that he's already thinking about my death and wanting his inheritance. But actually what he was thinking is that, you know, he'd love to have something that was passed down from his great-granddad to his granddad to his dad, and then he could have it, and maybe he'll pass it on to Noah and his other children. And I said to Luke, Luke, let's not wait till I die. Have it now. Take it with you. If you would like this, please take it now. And so he did. He's taken it to his home because he would like to have something that's a bit of a fact, probably the only family heirloom, so to speak, that we have. And when we think of the inheritance that we have through Jesus, we can think of it just in terms of, oh, okay, it's when we die, we'll have eternal life with him. But actually, there are many things that we can have right now as part of our inheritance. Forgiveness of sin, the peace of God, the grace and mercy of God, unity with God, hope for the future, direction in the present, healing from the past. Ephesians 1:13 says, "When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." If we want to tap in to something of the inheritance that is ours in Christ Jesus, of what's going to be like in heaven, we need to be open to the work of the Spirit here on earth, because he has been sent that we have just a taster of what there is to come. In heaven, there's going to be no sickness. So we find that through the gifts of the Spirit, there's the gift of healing. So there's a little bit of a taste of what's to come when everyone's going to be well, a bit of taste now in the power of the Spirit as people get healed. And we might find links like that as we open ourselves to the work of the Spirit. We're adopted into God's family. We've joined the family tree, not because of our blood, because we're genetically linked, but because of the blood of Christ. Given the Holy Spirit as a guarantee of inheritance, deposit a taste of all that's to come, and made available to us now. And we'll look more at the work of the Spirit next Sunday. But for now, let's remember the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives is not only what's to come, but understand what's also available. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says, "We've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who's from God, so we may understand what God has freely given us." So as we prepare to think about Pentecost Sunday next Sunday, why not spend this week just thinking and being open to the Spirit to remind us what God has freely given us. So just in closing, I want to encourage you to ponder this week. We often look at ourselves and we can quite easily spot where we're weak, where we can't do things. But ponder this. If you are adopted into God's family, then how does that affect you? Who should you think you are? If Jesus has ascended into heaven, then how does that equip you? Who should you think you are? And if you have God's Spirit within you, then how does that empower you? Just think, who should you think you are? Adopted into his family, how does it affect you? Jesus sent into heaven, so how does that equip you? If you have God's Spirit within you, then how does that empower you? Who should you this week and every week think you are because you are adopted into Christ's family? And on the tables, you'll see sheets this evening. Feel free to take those away, a couple more on the baptistry, which lists some of the verses, examples of perfect promises, treasures that are buried in the Word of God that I've dug up for you because they're part of your inheritance that you may want to claim this week. May God help us as we take the treasure which is ours in Christ Jesus, a treasure far greater than any pirate's gold, a treasure we can access now and can enjoy for all eternity.